So we pick up the story of Moses and the Exodus. We're in the fourth part of a five-part message series centered around the Exodus of the people of Israel from the land of Egypt on their way to God's promised land. We've explored the context of this story in ancient Egypt over 3,300 years ago. The life of Moses and God's call to him and God's hand on his life, the plague narratives and their place in moving everyone out of their comfort zone and into action, and the meaning of the wilderness journey for the Hebrew people. As we've explored this particular story, we've been reminded of our place in and our connection to the greater, ever-ongoing story of God's people. Congregationally, we are on our own journey into the wilderness of the unknown as we follow God. Personally, it's been surprisingly easy to connect with the themes of this ancient story of call, hesitancy, fear, belief, freedom, and the feeling of being uncertain and lost in a wilderness. And as we heard strongly last week, in all of this, no matter where we see ourselves in this story or feel like we are in our own story, the message is this: God is with us. This morning, we move into the development of leadership and structure in the free and wandering Hebrew people. The parallels between this passage and my week spent in the first round of implementation meetings is not lost on me. There are 87 individuals from all three congregations working on 13 different action teams to move our tribes toward merger. There has been a lot of consulting, praying, deciding, and delegating in that process. And we've talked about quite a bit about the work of this season as a different kind of work. In many places, creating something new rather than refining something ongoing. And it's definitely a place where we are seeking wisdom. And in God's way, God plops them down in my lap in the timing of this message. It feels very real and immediate to me. If you are a part of the implementation process, you may find yourself listening to today's message with that part of your brain engaged. For all of us, however, I'll start with some time for you to consider this question: where are you in a place of leadership in this season of your life? In the life of this community, you may lead a small group, a ministry team, a committee, a fellowship team, an event, a process. In the rest of life, you may lead people or processes at work, in the PTA, in a social or service club. And if you are a parent, you are a leader. If you are married, you are a co-leader. If you are a grandparent, great-grandparent, the matriarch or patriarch of your family, you are a leader. So with all of that in mind, let's take a breath, and I'm just going to take a moment in silence for you to identify your place of leadership right now. Okay, have you got it? Something in your mind? If you haven't, just let that thought go and just listen openly, and the connection will find you. As leaders, followers, and companions on the journey, let's dive a bit deeper into the Exodus story as we explore chapters 18, 19, and 20. In the story, this narrative places this particular arc is only a few months after the Exodus from Egypt. A long few months of wandering, of being fed manna and quail, of trusting and not trusting that God will provide. 3 months of being out of captivity and 3 months of being in a place of uncertainty and discomfort. Unsurprisingly, things are starting to get a bit dicey. People are being people, with all the drama and the disputes of humanity beginning to arise. And as we enter in chapter 18, Moses is being joined by his wife, Zipporah, two sons, and his father-in-law, Jethro, who are rejoining him from the land of Midian. Moses recounts to Jethro the story of deliverance and where they have been. And Jethro celebrates God's amazing actions and providence in it all. But then in the verses that we heard Joanna read a few moments ago, as Moses sits for hours upon hours and hears the complaints and disputes and serves as a deciding judge for all of these matters from morning until night. How exhausting. After about 3 hours of meetings, my back hurts, my head hurts, I'm pretty checked out of the process. After 3 hours of meetings, we have totally lost Chad. And the story seems to switch gears as it moves from looking back on what has been into what is happening right now. Now Jethro, after observing just one day of Moses in action, questions him, "Why do you alone sit as judge?" What we don't know is this. Is Moses so concerned with control that he wants to handle all the cases himself? Has he just not had the time to think about it because he's totally overwhelmed by what is happening? Or is it just not in his skill set to come up with a more workable, practical system? There are lots of reasons why this is what could still be happening in Moses' leadership. Regardless, Jethro, who has been leading his own tribe and society in Midian for a long time, offers some pretty specific advice. Listen to this lovely tact as he speaks into Moses' business. "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You are going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle by yourself. Now listen to me, and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you." And what he then does is give some very specific advice on how he sees the leadership role of Moses. "You, Moses, should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives." But then Jethro goes on to give advice on distributing leadership more effectively. "Select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you." And here he returns kind of back to this beautiful, open-handed caring. "If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace." There is definitely a lot of tact, love, and a great deal of wisdom in this arc of advice. While there is certainly some very practical problem-solving happening, there is also a lot of care for Moses and for the people of Israel. There is also, clearly, space for Moses to accept this advice or not. Coming from a long line of advice givers, I appreciate this example a great deal. If one of your leadership roles is that of parent or elder in your family, this might be a passage to read from time to time. Wisdom, like most things, is received more readily if it's offered with an open hand and an open heart. But Moses does follow Jethro's advice and begin to distribute leadership. We don't know if he did it right that minute or over a period of time, but he identified leaders and distributed and delegated the workload. We see this model used also in the ministry of Jesus, who from the beginning invited others to follow, to learn, to practice, and likely far before they felt they were ready to go out and do what he did. This particular passage is one of those that is striking very close to home. In the last year of leadership at Chapel Hill, we've started to talk about a shift in roles as staff and leaders are less in the place of managing, doing, and controlling, and even creating, and more in the place of delegating, encouraging, and leading others to find their own ministries and place of leadership. Last year at this time, I had moved forward in an offered opportunity from Riverside Elementary to provide weekend food for children, gathering some willing help. That program didn't start until after spring break last year, and feeding 30-some kids by the end of the year. 1 year later, there is a dedicated team from two churches purchasing, packing, and delivering food for almost 80 kids at both Riverside and Mingus Brook Elementaries. Sometime late last fall, it became apparent to me that my involvement in this ministry, one that I loved deeply, that I had passion for, was actually slowing down its development and growth. I didn't have the time or the focus to be able to tend the details that make a difference in this ministry, that keep it going in a healthy, efficient way. God eventually pried my hands off the whole thing, kind of finger by finger a little, and delivered it completely into the willing and very capable hands of Sue and Rob Fracassa, who have been leading others to touch the life of kids. At this point, I don't even know the details on any given week. I just know and trust that it is happening, and I get to hear the stories of how God has continued to bless the kids, the work, and the people doing the work. My passion and my incubation of this ministry mattered, but God's work in me to hand it off to others may matter more in the long term. As you think of your leadership role in this season, is there something that God may be asking you to let go, to open up, to move to a place of delegation, of coaching, of encouragement? As other people join us in the Merge Church, are we ready to welcome others? Loving, capable, skilled, heartful others in leading some ministries that we hold dear. In other parts of life, how do you pass on work experience as you prepare to retire? Is it time for a younger family member to host Easter or 4th of July or Thanksgiving dinner? It's hard, this letting go stuff. But an amazing thing happens in this story, in the life of Moses when he lets go of the day-to-day leadership and the sitting in that place of judgment for day after day. There is certainly a next thing for him, as an amazing series of conversations happen between God, Moses, and the Hebrews. God claims the people of Israel as his own and establishes a beautiful covenant with them. He speaks to them directly from a cloud. God delineates what is holy and sacred to God. And God calls Moses to the top of Mount Sinai and delivers to him what we know as the Ten Commandments, a fundamental moral code for the Hebrew people and a foundation of law and morality in many societies. Moses was done with one kind of leadership. He passed that on, but he still had an incredibly important leadership role for God's people that could only come when he let go of what had been. As you go through the week ahead, I invite you to think of where that call to let go may be in your life in this season. Please pray with me. Guiding Spirit God, help us to know when to grow new seeds and plant new ministries and pour out our passions, when to work in the fields, weeding and growing and tending the crops, when it is time to harvest and reap the rewards of your kingdom. And help us, liberating God, to know when it is time to let go, to find and train the next planters, the next sowers, the next leaders. We live in trust that you always have a next for us, new work for us to do, new gardens to develop. May we do all of this as we tend the gardens of your kingdom together. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.